WGH Radio, 740-383-9944. I know, the pictures are interesting. Well, we've got a trivia question on the table here. It is, which two pizza places would you call for a cinnamon pizza? 740-383-9944. Which two pizza places would you call for a cinnamon pizza? Now remember, you gotta have both of them. The two pizza places you'd call for a cinnamon pizza. 740-383-9944. Now you have a lot of ties to Michigan, right?
Yeah.
What did you make? We didn't talk about it a few weeks ago. That the late... Great. Well, we'll take this and then we'll come back to this. Say Michigan. Remind me of this because I'll forget. Go ahead, caller.
How about Papa John's and Godfather's?
Papa John's and Godfather's.
Oh,
those are the two. All right. Let me get you on this new index card here.
Just add me to Mary's list. add me to Mary.
Oh, so put her on the... she's going to be the call answerer tomorrow morning.
Yes.
All right.
She's the one that can read and write.
Okay. Ah, that's good to have. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. She can read and write.
So now, where are we here?
Okay, we're going back to Michigan.
Wait, here's a question. Think about this while we're doing this. Where can you get a Hershey Sunday pie? 740-383-9944. Where can you get a Hershey Sunday pie? What do you make of Hero in Michigan? Bo Schembechler, legendary coach of the college team, also the head for a period of time of the Detroit Tigers, general manager.
I knew Bo and his son.
You knew him?
Yeah.
How well?
Not well.
Okay, but his son, now that he's, you know, there's been some accusations of some inappropriate behavior by a doctor.
And I didn't know that.
I guess, is what I understand. But the son, because Bo's dead, has come out and said that he knew. Bo knew this.
Bo knew about his son having inappropriate...
No. The teammates are saying that they were inappropriately treated by this doctor.
Oh, okay.
But that... And Bo's son is saying Bo knew about this.
Okay.
Go ahead, caller.
Burger King.
Burger King, you've got... Now, you didn't have to Google that one, did
you? I used to work there, so I...
Really? You know what? How do they cook a Whopper? I've always wanted to know that. Why is it different than McDonald's or Wendy's?
It's flame boiled.
Yeah,
do they actually have flames going on in there?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
When the fat drips down off the meat, you can see it.
And you can smell it. Yeah.
So you like Burger King? Do you still go back there?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. How can you not like Burger King?
Yeah.
Well, I don't
know.
Do
you like Burger King?
I love Burger King. My wife and I go there at least once a month.
There you go. Well, you got it. The Hershey Sunday pie.
Fine dining.
We got it.
Yeah.
It is Burger King. All right, here's another. Oh, this is just going to be a race to who can get to the phone.
Okay.
Where can you get a Frosty?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I know. Where can you get a Frosty? We'll wait for our delay to pass by here.
My wife will probably call in on this one.
Well, here we go. Where can you get a Frosty? All righty. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott. I called and asked if they have a Scott Spears burger.
Oh, you called Stewart's?
Yeah.
And what did you get over there?
I had them all confused.
Well, tell us what happened. This is interesting.
So she asks us around, and then she comes back on. She said, "What did you say?" I said, "Do you have a Scott Spears burger on the menu?" And they ask around some more, and she finally comes back on. She said, "No, it's Dickerson's meat."
I
told her, I said, well, maybe that's something you ought to put on the menu. I didn't say nothing about the Oreo cookie shake because I had them so confused over the stuff.
Well, you know what? If you have the time, call back over there and ask for the manager. I'm sure they'll put Michelle on the line. And ask her, and she'll get it.
I bet she wasn't there because I could hear him asking around.
Oh, okay.
Okay, we'll see what happens. Okay.
Michelle would know who it's coming.
Okay.
Scott
Burger. Okay. Thank you.
Is.
Well, that's interesting. I say it should happen.
Well, okay.
Well, you can...
And then they can have Glenn Kobel fries.
Well, no, I was trying to think, you know, because you really got to think about this sort of thing.
Okay, why?
Go ahead, caller.
Wendy's for the Frosty.
You've got it. Wendy's Or the Frosty. Who do we got on the line?
You know who it is.
You know who it is.
You always know my voice.
I do now.
Crazy.
Judy, how you doing?
Well, I'm in between your calls, so I don't know half what you're doing or anything. So
well, we don't either. Yeah. One, so.
Well, this one, I thought, well, I'll just take a chance here. So, yes. Okay.
You're in. So now give me your number, Judy.
740-341.
Right.
5719.
All right. We got you, Judy. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Yes, that. You know, sometimes through the headset, though, I don't recognize the voice until they talk a little bit. When the answer, like one word answer, like Frosty,
yeah,
you don't recognize.
I understand it.
Okay.
Yeah.
You do.
I'll give you your out there. You had no idea who she was.
I know. Judy's been listening since the beginning. If you want some cinnamon twists, where would you go?
Oh, I know that.
Cinnamon twists. 740-383-9944. The old cinnamon twists.
And I'm 740. Not sure they have them anymore.
Now tell me, it was the Scott Spears burger.
Yeah.
Why not?
I think it's the dumbest thing I ever heard of.
Well,
no.
Tell me what you really think.
Well, it's just jealousy, because I want one.
You're jealous.
Yeah.
But you can't have a burger. Maybe a chicken.
Okay.
You want a chicken sandwich?
I'll go with the Kobel chicken breast.
Oh, no, no, no.
I always love breasts.
Shredded chicken. Shredded chicken.
Oh, shredded
chicken breast, right?
I like shredding stuff.
Maybe they can name, well, we'll get into that later on. Go ahead, caller.
Would that be Taco Bell?
That is Taco Bell. Glenn says they don't have those anymore.
I think they've stopped doing those. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, they did have a cinnamon chip, and I don't know if they went back to them or not.
Okay. Oh, I hope so. Hey, Ralph, what's your number?
740-361-0851.
All right, you are in. Thank you, my friend.
Oh,
excellent.
Ralph is in. So we got Ralph, Judy, Sarah, Jeff, Mary, Lee, Charlene, Trish.
And somebody else
just
calling in.
Jody, if this person gives it the right answer, I'll let him in. Go ahead, caller.
No, I'm the 30-second delay. Taco Bell.
Okay, now, you know what? We're going to put you in. Now, did you really know...
Yeah, actually, that was about the only one I knew.
Okay, let me ask you this. Here, because I know you're busy, but would you go to Stewart's for a Scott Spears burger?
Would I go to Stewart's? Yeah.
If they named a burger for me, would you go down there and eat it?
Yes, I would.
All right, you're in.
You're in.
All right.
All right, this is Ryan.
Ryan, what's the phone number?
740 262 4944.
Thank you, Ryan.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye. All right, there you go.
Did you see that your sister is in the news?
My sister?
Yeah, Brittany.
No, what's she doing?
I don't know. She's trying to get free from her father.
I feel Brittany and I are like the Roosevelts, like fifth cousins or something.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you that.
Well, I don't know why.
She's got a lot better looking...
Not really.
...body than you do.
Not really.
Not anymore.
Not really. Okay, well, that's all our food questions. We got through them all.
All right. We got all the people.
Now, tomorrow, remember, from 8 to 10, but you haven't won anything yet. Now, remember that, because I will draw, and I will call you. And what will happen is there will be one final question, and if you can answer it correctly, then you win. But if you don't answer it or you don't answer, I draw somebody else.
This sounds like a New York voting thing.
Well, I just think, I think when we pull a name out of the hat, that's kind of like, and sometimes those people aren't listening, and, who
I
needs
understand.
That?
I understand.
We're going to do this the old-fashioned way. That's how they used to do it.
All right.
So those are over there for tomorrow.
What do you think of that New York voting thing where you have to vote for your top five mayors?
I don't know. Who's running?
Nobody knows, because there are about 12 of them. I don't know.
So now, you never did answer the Bo Schembechler thing.
What was I supposed about
that?
The,
that his son has come out and said, "Oh yes, he knew."
Bo knew about it. You know, I am having been in that business for 18 years. I am absolutely convinced that most coaches know what's going on. But find ways for deniability. This thing with Jim Jordan saying he didn't know anything about what was going on.
Yeah, but here's the problem.
Yes.
Sorry, did I interrupt you?
No. I think there are... I was going to name other people.
Well, but here's the difference in this case. He's dead. And think that
not that say he
right, he can't say he didn't. So we're never gonna know. It's much like we had this much less obviously important, but a few weeks ago, you know, what was the thing we were going through trying to get an answer? Oh, about the police chief who shot himself.
Yeah,
and it somebody said, well, call up the person who was doing the investigation who's still alive. Well, the problem is the police chief can't defend himself because he's dead, and I feel that no matter what the person who's doing the investigating would say, I can't check it because he's dead. So that's the problem.
Yeah.
And that's why if Bo knew, that's horrible. But, you know, now, are they going to go tear down all these statues? Is that always going to be an addendum to his... Because we really don't know.
Let us not crucify a man if you can't prove it one way or the other, right?
But why his son? That's weird
kind of
thing.
Well, his son is kind of an unusual guy. I knew him when he was at Miami University. And he's kind of a strange guy. People loved him because of his name. They didn't love him because of his knowledge.
Yeah, but what, I mean, I have seen families fall apart, and that will happen, but not after somebody's dead. That's what makes this so bizarre to me.
Yeah, and how do we know that his son actually said that?
I mean, I think he said it.
Somebody has it on tape.
Yeah, I think he released it.
Yeah, okay, all right. Well, that's a sad state of affairs. It's like that the doctor that handled all the gymnasts, and they knew that for a long, long time.
I'll tell you why I don't like Bo Schembechler, because I really, the Ohio State thing, I don't care.
Yeah.
But here's that way. Because I heard this, matter of fact, I interviewed Ernie Harwell. And Ernie Harwell, if you don't know, was the longtime voice of the Detroit Tigers. And Ernie had been there forever. And in the early 90s, Bo Schembechler was hired as the general manager. And for some reason, he did not like Ernie Harwell. And he fired him.
Huh.
Fired Ernie Harwell. And it really, the papers went nuts. And Ernie was gone for like 2 or 3 years. And then new management came in. And the first thing they did, one of the first things, was hire Ernie Harwell back. And he stayed another like 15 or year, 2008, 2009, something like that. And I saw Ernie Harwell. Well, maybe it was the interview I did. You know, you forget after a while. It's been a long time. Ernie's been gone for a while. But I remember I was... my interview or another one, but somebody was asking him, do you have any ill will toward Bo Schembechler for firing you? And he says, well, I didn't like it at the time, but now, you know, I got my job back, all's forgiven. And somebody said, well, have you had any interaction with Bo? Because, you know, you're both big deals here in Michigan. Have you ever been at the same party? And he said, you know, yes, we were. And they said, well, what happened? He said, well, I went up to Bo and I held out my hand and I said, all is forgiven. He wouldn't shake his hand.
Oh, my. Yeah.
So, you know, and I don't think Ernie Harwell made that up.
Huh. No, that was kind of like what I felt when Jack Brickhouse said, who cares?
Yeah, but you had no history with Jack
Brickhouse.
Yeah, we didn't
have any history.
This is a history, and Ernie was the damaged party.
Yeah.
And he's trying to make up with you, and you do that.
That's kind of mean.
Yeah. I thought, what is that?
You know, it's kind of interesting. Of all the coaches, and I've known an awful lot of coaches, obviously, of all the coaches I've known, many of them have the fault of thinking they are more than two slices of bread and a piece of cheese. They all think they are more important than you, most of them.
But a lot of them, because you know what? I've known people who I considered to be good friends that I really liked that I know other people hated and thought they were egotistical. And all, but I didn't find them that way. So I think that's person to person to me, but that's just good manners. You don't have to be Ernie Harwell's friend, but you could at least say all's forgiven.
Right. Yeah. Now, you hit right on it at that point when you said good manners. I respect coaches that have high egos. You've got to in that business.
Well, you better think you're good.
Yeah. My youngest son, who is a phenomenal athlete, he knew he was good. We were just talking about that on the phone the other day. He knew how good he was, and he knew he should have been playing Division I baseball. He was playing Division III, but he did go to the World Series championship. But he knew he was good, and I think that good athletes know they're good. Good coaches know they're good. But there's a way of doing it with some grace, for a lack of a word.
But I mean, I can even understand why there was tension. I mean, yeah. Jim Beckler clearly did not like him as a broadcaster. Yeah. I get the whole thing. I get that they're probably not going to go out and have dinner. He at least could have shook his hand.
Or at least said okay or something.
You know, I don't know why this smacks in my head, but years ago, does anybody remember Jack Klugman?
Yes.
Okay, I interviewed Jack Klugman. And you know, this is one of the reasons I like interviews, because certain stories stick out in my head that I would have never heard anywhere else. Well, Jack Klugman was, after The Odd Couple, was in high demand. Because The Odd Couple was really not a hit, but Jack Klugman was thought of to be a very good actor.
Yep.
Very funny, good actor. And they kept offering him all these sitcoms they wanted him to do. And he kept turning them down, turning them down, turning them down. And he told me one day, he said, his agent had given him this script for Quincy, which clearly was not a comedy. It was a drama.
Yes.
And he was a coroner. So he didn't want to do it. He had no intention of doing it, but he didn't read it because he was busy. And his manager called and said, oh, you think you're so big, you don't have to read these scripts. You know, kind of got that attitude. And he said, no. He said, he was trying to placate her by saying, oh, but, you know, I kind of like this guy. He's a, just to say that he's still thinking about it. And he said he talked himself into liking this character. So he does Quincy.
And it was fairly successful.
It was. Yeah. Well, but here's this is the thing to Jim Beckler. The guy who had come up with Quincy, he didn't get along with. So Klugman comes in, it becomes a hit, it becomes a weekly series, and he's writing Cops and Robbers, the writer, head guy, and Klugman doesn't like this. He said he signed on to be like a mystery type of show, and he went to the network and said, hey, you know, he goes or I go. We can't work together. So they sided, of course, with the star, because that's who's making the money, but of course the guy who created it's still going to get paid. So that's that, and that ends. Years later at a party, he's at the party with this guy, Klugman, with this, and he hadn't seen him since. And he's thinking, oh, man, you know, gosh, I really don't want to run into him. And he says, the guy comes up to him and says, stay well, keep making me money.
Yeah,
and he said,
there you go.
And Jack Klugman said, he thought, well, touche, you know, that's that's the way it goes. Now, that's how it should happen. They probably didn't like each other, but it was a funny moment.
I had a friend. We were at a big basketball pregame party or something like that, and he and I had not gotten along very well, but I heard he was going to be there, and so I was concerned how I was going to approach him, and we walked into the same room at the same, almost same moment, and we were both wearing identical, rather outlandish suits. And we both left immediately.
So it wasn't all forgiven.
No, it was not all forgiven.
Well, you know, it's these stories, I like to point out the good ones. You know, Tom Brokaw, legendary news anchor, had always followed the Reagans, because Tom started in, well, it didn't start, but he made his name in California local news. So he'd always known the Reagans, because Reagan was governor out there. And Nancy was kind of the guard there. Ronald Reagan was not.
Yeah.
And I guess Tom Brokaw went on to the national news, and Ronald Reagan ascended to the presidency. Well, Tom Brokaw had said something not so nice about Ronald Reagan. And Nancy heard about it. And Nancy was angry. And the wall went up. Well, Tom Brokaw gets invited to this state dinner, and he's kind of nervous because, you know, he knows there's this tension between them. So he said he called somebody at the White House and said, you know, what should I do? And he said, well, you know, the president doesn't really care about this, but Nancy's still hot about it. So just know that. So he said he's going to the receiving line thinking, what is he going to say when he gets up there? And he got up to her and he said, Nancy, back to square one. And she kind of laughed and gave him a hug and said next day he got something from the White House that said, Tom, back to square one.
Very good.
And after that, it was okay.
Yeah, I think you should always try to find a way to forgive people that have wronged you. Now, I have maybe three people in my life that I will never forgive. But most of the people that have wronged me, I found ways to, you know, if you think about it, most of them don't really want to wrong you. It just works out that way.
I don't have anybody. When you said that, I tried to run through my brain of somebody who I would not forgive. And there's nobody.
Well, I'm trying to think. I said three, and I'm probably wrong. I can only think of one right now, and he was an athletic director at DePaul University who fired me, and he got in a lot of trouble. We won't go into that, but anyway, I would have a really hard time forgiving him. As a matter of fact, I was fired by Harold McElhaney, who was the AD at OU when the new president came to town, and he had to fire he was told to fire all the male administrators, and I got in the way. I was one of them. So,
but why not forgive
him? I always loved him, so it didn't make any difference. Yeah, I think you should.
But why not this guy that you won't forgive?
If I went into it, we'd be off the air, I think.
Well, you know, see, I guess
he did things that were not good. Young ladies, athletes.
Now, if he hadn't fired you, though, would you still? Because obviously other people have done those things.
I didn't like him from day one. I got fired because I didn't like him for 6 months in a row, and he finally figured out I didn't like him.
Well, I don't know. I guess that I would say something. I don't know. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I'm not necessarily going to associate with people who I don't care for, but I don't think I hold a grudge.
Okay. Well, this guy was 26 years old. He was younger than I was. He had no right to be an athletic director at a university that had a Division I Final Four team. And he did all sorts of really underhanded things, and he eventually got caught by the FBI. So,
well, there you go.
Yeah, but they didn't do anything to him, but they caught him.
Oh, well.
I'll tell you this story about him. I went in after I was fired. I was invited to the president's office. I rarely talked to Father Richardson, but he invited me in, and he knew I had been fired, and I'm not going to use the word he used, but he was a priest, and he said, "What the F is going on in the athletic department?"
A priest said this.
A priest said that.
I had to go to confession.
So I told him, and the priest and I are still occasionally in touch with each other. No, he's dead now, but we were for quite some time in touch with each other. And he knew what was going on. He eventually got rid of this guy, who ended up getting a very similar job at a major Eastern college and got fired from there, too.
And there you go.
Yeah. He was a bad person.
I'll tell you what, I was thinking about this grudge thing. I don't like that I don't have a sandwich named after me.
You're going to get a grudge about
that. I'm going to get a grudge about that. And here's what I will say, because one person has called over there already. Now, I'm not saying that anybody should call over there. But, you know, if you want to and report back to us, feel free. Because I think that if enough people call and say, "Do you have the Scott Spears burger on the menu?" and then report back to us, they're going to have to do it.
How about a Scott burger with pickle Spears?
Well, I don't like pickles, though.
Oh.
No, see, now a burger after would have to be, well, how do I eat a burger? I would like a burger with tomato and an onion and
lettuce.
Yeah, I like lettuce. And
ketchup and mustard?
No, ketchup and mustard.
Oh, okay.
No.
Mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise.
So I like that. I might eat that one.
That would be the burger. So if you want to call over there before the show's over today, we got 20 minutes left. Now, I'm not encouraging you to do this.
Oh,
so
yeah, of course you're not.
Don't lay this back on me. But I'm saying if you want to call over and say that and then report back to us what happened, feel free. 740-383-9944. And you can ask for management over there if you want. You know, they're not doing nothing right now. It's only lunchtime. So you can just call on over, and they'll love that.
And if you want to get on with in my show of Progressive Life right afterwards to tell me, I don't care. I don't want to hear it.
No, you do want to hear it.
Oh, no,
I don't. Because you're going to get angry, and your blood pressure is going to skyrocket.
No, I...
Keel over.
I only want to hear it if they're going to name one after me.
Yeah, but why would they name one after you?
Because I'm a star.
Well, if this is not about star, this is about, you know, I just think it should be done.
Okay.
I mean, there are things that should be done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is not one of them, but
this
okay.
is one of them. And it shall last in perpetuity.
Okay.
I don't know.
Hey, then I'd be able to tell my grandchildren, I know the guy person, that burger is named after.
The burger you're having came after this
yeah.
man. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's only right.
Yeah, sure.
Don't you think at some point, like Jack Brickhouse, you know, you got to lay the cards on the table.
You got to lay them down somewhere.
Lay them, and I've laid them down.
Okay, they can name onion rings after me.
Onion rings.
I love onion rings.
Well, I like onion rings, sure.
No, I love onion rings.
Well, I like onion. I'm not as emotional about it as you are.
I cry when I have a good onion ring.
Oh, my. Do you like the draped onion rings with the breading?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Yes.
Not the ones that are pre-breaded.
No. No, I like them done.
So,
made.
Report back to us if anybody has called over there to just suggest
yeah.
or ask. If there is a Scott Spears burger on the menu.
And if you want to call in during Progressive Life, you can't get in anyway because we're
going to
be
the
on
doctor,
the air.
Yeah. but you still can report in the next 19 minutes. Give us a buzz here. 740-383-9944.
Oh, I'm so sorry for that poor lady.
Well, we'd like to have the reports back here, wouldn't we?
No.
Well, somebody should call over there and order about 20 of them. Say, I want the Scott Spears burger, and they'll come up with it. I bet it'll be on the menu then.
I tell you what, you better have the money ready, though. Because that would really make me mad if somebody called in and ordered 20 sandwiches, and it was just a joke.
Oh, no, I'm not saying joke.
Okay, so...
No, you got to go get them.
What are they going to cost? $3.99?
Well, I don't know. I don't set the prices.
Okay.
Ay, ay, ay.
We're having a good day.
Well, you got to have a good day. This is how you have fun in life.
It's a beautiful day. I'm looking outside and the sun's out.
Don't we need to enjoy ourselves more here? Aren't there things named for people in other towns? Of course there are.
The reason why I come and do this thing for all the money I get is
because
I enjoy this.
And the station is named for Warren Harding.
Very good.
See, we named something for somebody.
They don't have a Warren Harding burger, though.
They should.
Yes, I agree that.
Yes. But they need to start somewhere, and start with me.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it. There are other people. Now, who would you name something after in this town? I think Mary Ellen.
Of course.
Of course.
We need a Mary Ellen burger. I don't think burger is right for
no,
her.
No. Well, when I've been with her, she has the foot-long
Ooh.
Hot dog.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably.
Okay.
Okay. So we have that. Forget Harding, because he's dead. We can't have any...
Well, actually, it's better if you name them after dead people, then they
well,
can't
Well, we can
complain.
Have the Florence Harding. That would be leftovers.
That's really bad.
Well, no, I just know in her life, she...
I know what you mean.
Well, no, I mean, sometimes she got to dinner late.
Gosh. Is anybody still out there listening to this crud?
You know what? You gotta do what you gotta do.
I guess you do.
You gotta do.
I would like to see a something to do with peanuts that we'd name after Charlie, because he'd started
peanuts.
He started the peanut push. And, you know...
Oh, see, when you said all that, I thought you were talking about Charlie Brown.
No, peanuts. No. Well, that's true.
See, that's too confusing.
Okay. Yeah, that would be confusing.
Yeah. No, yeah. People are going to think it was Peanuts.
Yeah.
Peanuts cartoons.
Well, we could have it named after... I don't know. We need something after Charlie. We need something after...
I'm trying to think of what Charlie... Well, Charlie liked Moxie, but they don't sell that over there.
Do they still sell Moxie? I guess they do.
They sell it, but not at the Stewart's.
Yeah, maybe they could bring it in.
I don't know. What was... Well, he would eat a lot of... He'd eat anything.
Yes. as he could eat.
Except macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, he hated macaroni and cheese.
Did not like macaroni and cheese.
But anything, if you eat fruitcake, you'll eat anything.
Well, then they can do fruitcake.
Yeah, they can do fruitcake.
There you go. Christmas could be the Charlie Evers fruitcake.
Are they open? They're not open at Christmas.
Oh, darn.
Well, that would be good then. Then you wouldn't have to give
them. Very easy to do that
one. Yeah.
Well, how about a root beer float?
I love root beer
float. There you go. Yeah. Just do the root beer float.
And name it after me.
Name it after you. Now, has anybody called over yet? We want to hear back from you people.
Of course not.
Well, they should.
They're embarrassed.
First guy called. Hey, the first guy who calls over, have you called back there and said, listen, get this on the menu. I need one.
What a self-serving thing you're doing.
No, I'm not telling people to do it. I'm just suggesting.
Okay. All right.
I didn't start this morning.
When I turned on the radio to come to work and listen to you, I knew it was going to be a rough day.
Did you? You knew there was trouble coming.
There was trouble on the horizon.
Oh, my. 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz. We'd like to know. But I the whole Bo Schembechler thing, I just think is
that's kind of
wrong.
Yeah. What's the word for it?
It's not long before something bad is going to happen with Woody Hayes, because he had a temper, and, you know, he and his wife's relationship, my understanding, was always a little strange.
Well,
and he also had a strained relationship with his wife.
It would be tough to be a coach of a major program like that and not have a strained relationship, because you're never home. My relationship with my wife was strained because I was on the road half of every week, especially during basketball season and football season, so... Yeah, I can understand how it would be strange.
Well, here's another story for you. Just popped in my head.
Sure.
I interviewed Mary Hayes Hoyt once, who was Woody's nephew, Woody's niece,
okay,
who lived with them for a short period of time, and she was talking about Woody Hayes. And I said, you know, Woody Hayes' son, I think he's a judge or was a judge down in Columbus. I said, why is he not out doing these interviews? Why won't he do interviews? And she said, you know... She said, I asked him one time, I said, why don't you do these? You know, I'm not his child. You're his only child. I was just the niece who lived with him. And she said, he said, I'm all Woodied out.
Yeah, I can understand that. Well, the job I got just before coming to Marion to do the credit union was a job. I was vice president of some organization. We were doing a... We were making a play about Woody Hayes, and it was going to be offered to alumni only, and we were going to go around the state. By the way, it never took off, and the guy kind of left me high and dry that hired me. But I talked to the guy who played Woody Hayes, and he had been Woody Hayes at several different situations, and he kind of said the same thing. I really get tired of being Woody Hayes.
Well, but your son, can you imagine that your son's response would be that?
Yeah, I can.
Well, I think that's telling about the man. I think if you loved your father and had a lot of good stories to tell, I don't think that would happen.
Well, I think you can love somebody and not want to tell the same story over and over and over again.
Well, no, your answer, I don't think, that answer suggests that he's done talking about his father. I'm just tired of doing interviews, but I don't think that's what that statement suggests. Because the guy is so against doing interviews.
Huh. Well, I know I would find it very difficult to keep telling, and I did when I was in the business, I did tell the same story over and over and over and over again about certain people. But the stories that I told were always the same stories, and hopefully I didn't tell them to the same people. But it does get old. It really does get old.
Yeah, but some people, Jack Benny's daughter, Mo Howard's daughter, obviously, Woody Hayes' niece. They don't have this problem.
No, I think you're probably hit on something there. If you really love the person, you wouldn't mind telling the stories.
No, and if you don't want to do an interview, I mean, you can take time off. You don't have to say yes to every interview, but to do none and then to say, I'm all Woodied out when somebody asks you about it. Well, how many documentaries have there been on Woody Hayes? Tons. How many times have you ever seen his son in any of them? None.
I didn't even know he had a son, quite frankly.
There you go.
Now, did you ever meet Woody?
No, I never did. I think I met Mary, but never Woody.
One of my closest friends at OU was Kermit Blosser, and he was a, well, he had been a coach of just about all the sports, but when I knew him, he was winding down, and he was the head coach and eventually the coach emeritus of the OU golf team. He had played basketball at OU. He had played football at OU. He had coached both of those at OU. Great guy. I think the last I saw of him, he was probably 96 years old. He lived right behind me in Athens. And so we were good friends. Now, I was in my 40s, and he was in his 90s, but we became very close. And it was great to get to know Kermit, but Kermit introduced me to Woody two or three times, because Woody would come and talk to Kermit. They were good friends, and I think they might have played football against each other. But every time I was introduced, first of all, I was not a huge OSU fan, because I was at OU, and I hadn't been steeped in the OSU stuff and the Woody Hayes stuff like the rest of my friends around here or around down there, and so every time he introduced me to him, I was kind of caught between, this guy is a celebrity and I should be really impressed, but this guy is kind of a jerk.
Was he?
Well, he never was. It was disappointing that he wasn't a jerk to me.
Oh, he was a nice guy.
He was very nice to me. Yeah. But, you know, I was somebody he didn't know from Adam, and I only met him two or three times through Kermit.
Well, but, you know, there were a few years ago when Tressel was doing very well, and I think it happened under Urban Meyer, too. They started comparing them, because of their records, to Woody Hayes. And I think people completely miss the point on Woody Hayes. Woody Hayes is not about his record. I mean, partially, that's part of the mystique of him. But it's his temperament. It's his clothing. It's the way he spoke at press conferences. It's his long tenure there. It's that he did care about the athletes, got good grades. It's that he was accessible to students. You know, the Woody Hayes mystique is not so much about his record. It's like Muhammad Ali. You know, when anybody ever says, well, who's the greatest boxer of all time, records are unimportant in that field. It's Muhammad Ali, there's no doubt. Nobody did more for social injustices, whether you believe they were or not. Nobody was more out front. Nobody was more entertaining. Nobody was more visible than Muhammad Ali.
A lot of people hated him, though.
Well, you'll have that. A lot of people hated Woody Hayes.
Yeah, well, they hated Muhammad Ali because, well, first of all, he changed his name to go to the bad guys, and he was African American, and he had all the bad things going for, and he was very strong and very outgoing and very mouthy, all the things that certain types of people hate.
Well, and we talked about Roosevelt last week. A lot of people hated Roosevelt, but a lot of people didn't, obviously.
You know, you mentioned Tressel. And I knew Tressel when he was at Youngstown State, and I really liked him. I thought he was a really good guy.
You know, he is one of those interviews, again, that I did, and people think I don't like him because of the way the Jim Jordan thing, because of how the interview went. I really didn't think anything of it. I was going to ask him about the scandals.
Yeah.
I would guess he would know that. And when I did, my question just pretty much was, do you wish you would have... I can't remember if I said, do you wish you would have told the truth, or do you wish you would have resigned, or something to that effect. Uh-huh. And his answer was, I don't think you have the facts straight. And I said, well, I want to be correct. Straighten me out.
Yeah, sure.
And he says, Well, that's for you to figure out.
Well, it might have been a very, very long story, too.
Well, I don't know. I just kind of took it as the story was right, and he didn't want to answer the question.
Well, it could be true.
And life goes on. But I didn't take it personally. But a lot of people listened to that and said, boy, what a...
jerk.
Yeah, yeah. But I didn't... I don't take Jim Jordan as a jerk. I don't take... Jim Tressel is a jerk. You know what? Nobody likes every question you ask.
Well, the reason why I brought that story up is I've had so many people tell me, you're crazy to like Tressel. But I did like him. But my meetings with him were in press rooms, after games, or right before games. You know, it was pretty... It was not really social. It was... kind of celebrity stuff.
The guy who was always nice to me was Gordon Gee.
Yeah.
Gordon Gee was, I remember I went down to OSU for a Saturday morning game, and it would be like noon game, but I got there in the morning, and I wanted to interview him before the game. And he said, well, he had to go over to the game, and he had a board meeting that morning. So he told me where the board meeting was. He said, come to this building, and as I'm coming out, walking over to the stadium, you can... And he did. And he came out, and he took pictures, and he allowed me to put the microphone in his face and interview him as we went across, and he did not short answer me at all. And he was just always that gracious and nice that way.
I always thought publicly he looked that way. Yeah.
He was that way.
Now, a great, great guy from OSU is still there. Oh, shoot. Of course, I'd forget his name. he was assistant athletic director at Eastern Michigan when I was at OU, and now he's the AD at OSU. You know his name. Anyway, these people, they come from the same place you and I come from.
Well, that's what I don't, you know, when people, that's why, I guess, and maybe people don't get it, I've been on a rant about saying people are deplorable or despicable yeah. or any of that. They're people.
Yeah, they
have a mother, they have a father, you know, maybe they didn't make all the decisions I would have made, but you know the thing is, nobody would have. Nobody would have.
Gene Smith. I just
have Gene Smith, yeah. Well, but you know what? Nobody would have made the decisions because we're all different people. And I think that's one of the problems we have right now. You know what? And it's a funny thing, but I'm trying to think of maybe the most controversial politician out there right now. A few spring to mind. But the point is, they wouldn't be controversial if people didn't like them. And you've always got to remember that. And I think sometimes we don't take the time to get into really why people like them. We take the easy answer. We'll go, well, it's just because of this. Well, is it? I don't know. You know, there are some things about certain people that I really do. Well, why are you that way? What is the real reason? And just because it's different from me doesn't necessarily mean anything.
True.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Gene Smith, the name Glenn was looking for.
Yeah, I found it. Thanks a lot. Yeah, Gene's a great guy, yeah.
Yeah.
Gene and I...
He made a pretty good comment yesterday on TV.
What did he say?
Tell them athletes not to worry about the NCAA, worry about the IRS.
There you go. That's a story. That's a story we're going to talk about in Progressive Life, so hang in there. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think if the schools are going to make all this money, and the schools that aren't making money aren't going to pay them.
Well, the problem comes, I'm going to get into this just a touch. The problem with this is it will open bidding wars.
Right.
And the schools that are rich now will get richer, and the poor schools will lose good athletes, and I absolutely hate that.
Yeah, but a football team can, and this is really about football. People can say it's about...
And basketball. Sport. Basketball.
Partially.
Yeah.
But I bet you the money's not going to be spent on basketball. It's spent on football.
Because it costs more to do football but than it does basketball.
You can only have so many football players on a team.
100, and, is it 95, 98 now?
Okay. Something. So, you know, it's that way already. You know, as a football player where there's no money involved, that if you go to Ohio State or you go to Alabama or you go to these places, that you have a better chance of getting in. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, it's interesting to hear you're talking about the hearts of the Ohio State football coaches there.
Yep.
And I had never met Woody, but I had met Tressel, and he seemed really genuine.
Yeah.
I really, he had a good personality and spent a lot of time personally with people he didn't know. I thought he was very friendly that way. And I think maybe some of his situation, like you said, he didn't tell you, but I think it was just the fact that there was things confidential he couldn't share, and hopefully people would believe, knowing his credibility, would believe him.
I like
another
him
question
too.
I have too is, I wanted to drop something off at your studio. Where's your studio located?
We are on South Prospect Street here. It's 523. We're right next to where Ann's Carryout was, right across from Washington Street.
Vacant okay, lot, right to our north. Yeah.
I appreciate that. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, there you go. We appreciate the listeners. Hey, you're coming up.
Oh.
But just remember, they were going to those schools already.
Well,
I don't think money's going to entice him, and I think maybe
I think you're full of it.
You don't think, give me a great player right now off the top of your head playing for a bad school. A school who has a bad team.
I'd have to go back.
Maybe because there's
stuff.
They're a bad
team. I couldn't give you a good one playing for a good team right now with just off the top of my head.
Well, I would think anybody playing for Ohio State right now is probably considered a
no,
they don't give the Heisman Trophy to the people who lose. All right, we're coming. This is Scott Spears for the dugout.
Yes, I was born right here, Charles. I never went anywhere.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And you like it?
Sure.
Yeah, I liked it too. So how long have you had this show?
This show?
Yeah.
This particular incarnation of this show has been on about a year, but doing these type of shows about 10 years.
10 years. And
is that good enough? Do I pass?
Oh, yeah. And you enjoy it, right?
Till today, yeah.
Well, there's nothing like, for someone like you or someone like me, somebody who likes to talk, radio's the place.
That's true, until you're doing live radio at 110,
yes.
And you make a call.
Yeah, the guy doesn't call you back.
Oh, and you've advertised it.